This is a very familiar passage about Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, and the leprosy that he had. And I want to look at this story of Naaman this evening and the event that forever changed his life. We have in the text a man that has a dreaded disease called leprosy. Leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin with no known cure. Also in this story is a little maid that had been captured and brought into the house of Naaman as a servant. She was here for a purpose, and even though against her will, she was a good witness. I think about her, and I thought a little bit ago about she was a good missionary. I mean, she has been sent to a foreign place, and she had a good message to give to a man, a specific person that could help them and forever change his life. I mean, there was no hope for Naaman. Had it not been for this little maid that had got taken captive and brought against her will into the land of Syria, if she had kept her mouth shut and not been that good witness, Naaman never would have got any help. So then, in reality, this is a mission message this evening of a young maid, a little maid that's taken out of her country and brought to a place where there was an individual that was in need. That's what missionaries are sent for this evening. They're sent to places where there's people that are in need. They have no answer for their condition except the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for those that has the message of salvation, the message of healing this evening. I'm glad that I heard that old gospel message back yonder as a 17-year-old boy. I was a church member on my way to hell. Hey, but I'm glad that the evangelist come through and he got a burden for the pastor's son, and they were true that week to preach the gospel and give the invitation, and I made my way down to an old-fashioned altar because of someone's faithfulness. And there's someone's life that may be in the balance tonight, and it's hinged on your faithfulness. That's a pretty sobering thought to see. That wasn't part of the message, but it didn't cost nothing. Hey, we need to get a hold of this matter that people's lives are in the balance, and it could be us that are the witness or the missionary that they'll hear the gospel from. She pointed Naaman to the one that could help him. She told him of one who could help him in his hopeless condition. We see Naaman as he humbles himself before the Lord and receives grace and healing and peace. I want to look at this story for just a little bit, and I want to title this message this evening, Seven Ducks in a Muddy River. Seven Ducks in a Muddy River. The Jordan River, I heard this preacher, Jesse Duplantis. Some of y'all heard him preach before. I heard him preach on seven dips in a muddy pond one time. I don't remember how he preached it, but that was his title. And I want to title this tonight, Seven Ducks in a Muddy River. Boy, I seen the rivers rolling muddy down yonder in middle Georgia this week. It come a rain and it flooded the bottoms, it flooded the rivers and everything. And I could imagine the Jordan River, they said it's a real muddy river, and at times of flood stage, I'm sure it was probably running red. And it may have been at this time that the river was muddy when Naaman went down there because he didn't want to do what God told him to. He wanted to go to one of them other cleaner rivers there in his own country, Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus. But, you know, we're going to get born again. We're going to get our situation fixed. We're going to do it God's way this evening. And that's exactly where Naaman was. And we see a near-fatal mistake that could have become a tragedy for this man. And there's a lot of people that are making that mistake this evening all across this land. So with that said, by way of introduction, I want to look at several things this evening and we'll go to the house. Number one, there in verse 1, we see a sick man. Said, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. That little but gets us all, don't it? But he was a leper. Leprosy, we know, is a type of sin. There was no known cure in this day and for leprosy. I mean, a man had leprosy. He was ostracized and he was condemned to die. And we find a sick man here. We see, number one, he was a captain. I mean, he was a man of power and he was a leader among the people of Syria. Yet there was no known cure for what he had. He was a man of stature. He was a captain. He was a conqueror. I mean, here's a man of war. He knew how to win battles, and he had won a lot of battles. No doubt he was trained in warfare to be able to deliver the army here and to deliver Syria from the hands of the enemy. It said, by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. So we see a captain, we see a conqueror, but we also see a castaway. He was a leper and he was separated from the people. No one would be willing to trade places with Naaman for no amount of money. Not even the slaves of that day. Regardless of how great he was, he still had leprosy. And that little word, but, in verse 1, it told the story of what was wrong with him. I mean, he was condemned. He wasn't only a castaway, but he was condemned to die. I mean, no known cure. Could you imagine coming down and contracting the disease? Hey, that there's no known cure for? And in that day and hour, it was a dreaded disease, and no one wanted to get leprosy. But here we find a man, a sick man. Can I say there's a lot of sick people across this land today? Hey, there's a lot of sick people that needs healing in their soul this evening. They have sin in their lives and they don't know how to get rid of it. Leprosy here we see is a type of sin. That little word, but, it'll always get us all. Romans 3:23, I quoted this morning. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no exceptions. Galatians 3:22 says, but the Scriptures have concluded all under sin. Romans 3:10 said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together unprofitable. There is none good, no, not one. There's a lot of good people that thinks they're good people. The Bible declares us all that there's none good. The only thing that makes us good is what's inside if we're saved by the grace of God. If the Holy Ghost is living in our heart. Hey, if we've had an encounter with the Holy Ghost that's changed our life and put us on a new path. Hey, that's given us new desires and created us a new creature in Christ. So we see here a sick man. We see a captain, a conqueror, a castaway. We see here in verses 4 to 7 and verses 11 to 13, we see the leper's mistake. Verses 4 through 7, we find, hey, that he went to the wrong person. I mean, he heard about Elisha. He heard about the man of God, but he ended up going to the wrong person. That's the trouble a lot of people. Hey, they got problems. They got a sin problem. They go to the wrong person. They go to the wrong church a lot of times. Hey, they get given a counterfeit. They get given a false hope in Christ. It happens even in our Bible preaching churches across this land. Sometimes people get a counterfeit. Everything that God does, the devil's got a counterfeit. That's why it's important for us to stay right with God. Hey, that's why it's so important for us to reach forth unto perfection. That God can use us, that we could empty ourselves of ourselves. Verse 4 said, And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is coming to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. The king was a powerful man of Israel, but there's only one that can save. Acts 4:12, for salvation, go, the Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Hey, we're coming through Jesus, and we're not going to skirt Him if we're going to heaven one day, if we're going to have our sins forgiven. We're going to have to come to the right person. The priest can't save you. The preacher can't save you. All the preacher can do is just point to Him. Just like the little maid, the little missionary there, hey, that was in the land of Syria, she pointed him to the right person. But he liked to got sidetracked there.
the king of Syria, he wrote the letter to the wrong man. He wrote it to the king. And the king got all upset. He rent his clothes. He said, "Who does he think I am that I can heal? Send this man. Is he trying to trap me? Is he trying to trick me?" So we see the leper's mistake. He went to the wrong person. He carried the wrong price. They said what he carried, they carried there with them, well, amounted to about $500,000 in today's currency. Now, I don't know. That's just what I found out. But can I say salvation is free today? Hey, the greatest gift anyone can receive is free, and people don't want it. Hey, people of this land wants their sin more than they want Jesus in their life. The only thing that's gonna fix this nation is Jesus. Hey, it don't matter who's the president. If Jesus is not involved in part of their life, hey friend, we're in trouble tonight. I don't care who it is that gets in there, what Republican it is. Unless someone gets in there that realizes that Jesus is our only hope, that Jesus is the only one that can heal our land, and we have a repentant heart in this land and turning back to God. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 1 said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Revelation 22:17 said, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Hey, I'm glad that salvation is free tonight. It's for every individual. The Bible said that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have you ever been saved tonight? Are you 100% sure that you've had the Holy Spirit has had an encounter with you? Because without the Holy Ghost, you, friend, you're not going to get saved. Dealing with your heart, taking the Word of God, and working it in your heart, and you believing on Jesus and accepting Him, taking your place as a sinner. You're like this leper. You're condemned, man, to die if you don't trust Jesus. The Bible says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world." He sent His Son into the world that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Do you have that abundant life tonight in you? If you get real thirsty, that person gets real thirsty for God and they get wanting to have their sins forgiven, they're getting in good shape to get saved. But it's going to take faith. The price is not money. The Bible said, "For as much as you know, we're not redeemed, we're corrupt things such as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition of the Father, but with the precious blood of Christ." It's a free gift, friend. Jesus died for you. He shed His blood. He laid down His life freely, and He'll give you life freely. He'll give you forgiveness freely. So we see the leper's mistake. He went to the wrong person. He carried the wrong price. Then we see he had the wrong plan. Our thoughts have sent millions of people to hell tonight. Proverbs 16:25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There's a lot of people thought if they turned over a new leaf that they could go to heaven. There's a lot of people thought that if they'd go to church, you know, and they'd join up with a church somewhere, hey, they'd get their name written down on a list somewhere. Hey, that one of these days that they'll have their sins forgiven, they can go to heaven. Hey, it's not about having your name on a list. You can belong to every church on the corner. If you've never been saved, if you've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, if you never accepted Christ as your Savior and come to the realization that you're a hell-deserving sinner, that you're wicked, and that there's only one person that can take away your sins, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought. Verse 11, he said, "But Naaman was wroth and went away," and said, that's after he went to Elisha and the man of God come out and told him what to do. "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." He didn't hear what he wanted to hear. He had the wrong plan. He had the wrong perception there in verse 12. He said, are not Abana and Phar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He thought he could change God's plan. God's plan was the River Jordan. Hey, God's plan for the day is Jesus. He gave His life some 2,000 years ago and laid down His life freely on the cross. And that's God's plan for this day and hour that we're living in. He found fault with God's plan. There's a lot of people that's finding fault with God's plan. They want to do something. Man always wants to do something to obtain salvation. There's nothing you can do. For by grace, or you say, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could do anything, we would have something to boast about when we got to heaven. Well, I did this. But he thought he could change God's plan. He found fault with God's plan. Can I say the cross is God's plan for today? The cross is God's only plan. Romans 9:33 says, it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Millions of people every day make the same mistakes that Naaman made. There again, Proverbs 16 and verse 25 said, there's a way that seemeth right unto man. There's a lot of people think this way will do or that way will do. They won't just any way do. It's God's way. Just for the same with Naaman. He had leprosy. The only thing that was going to take care of his leprosy was that he go down there to the Jordan like the man of God told him to do, that God told the man of God to tell him to do, and go down there and dip 7 times in that muddy river. As sinners tonight, all men are castaways from the presence of God. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You may feel fine today, but if you are lost in your sins, you're a spiritual leper, and regardless of your greatness, you're headed for hell, friend. Regardless of the many times that you might have went down and walked an aisle somewhere, no matter how many times you might have been dunked in a river, how many times that you might have been dunked in a baptistry, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior and if you've never accepted God's plan, you're lost and on your way to hell. We see not only a sick man, we see a sold out maid. She had concern for Naaman. In spite of her situation, she didn't hate Naaman. What about that? I mean, here she was, a young lady that had been taken out of her country and carried as a slave into the land of Syria and placed under the household of a man with leprosy. And yet she had concern for Naaman. I wonder, are we concerned for those that we come into contact with? Are we concerned enough that we'll go out of our way to witness to those that we're living around? Are we concerned enough that we would be willing to reach forth unto perfection and let God use us in this day and hour to be different, to be someone that that somebody could see Jesus in? She had concern. In spite of her situation, she didn't hate Naaman. John 4:35 says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. That's why we tried and want to be involved in missions this evening, is because of the lost souls that's out there. And we've got to begin at our Jerusalem, our Judea, and our Samaria, and go to the uttermost parts of the world. I believe that includes South Dakota. I believe that includes Tennessee. I believe that includes Colorado, New Mexico. There's places out there without a good gospel witness. We ought to do what we can to reach our country. And then we ought to reach out even further and go across the Atlantic, across the Pacific, wherever the Lord might send and wherever He wants us involved. There in China, Japan, wherever. We need to go with a gospel message that can heal people of the leprosy that's in their body, the sin that's passed from one man to another, and without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to die and they're going to hell. She had confidence in God. Do we have confidence in God this evening? Hey, do we have confidence that He can still do what He said He would do? Hey, He wouldn't give us a great command or a commission to go and to all the world and preach the gospel if He wasn't able to do something when we get there. Do we have confidence? Do we have confidence that if we can give a little bit of money that it might make a little difference? Are we so stingy, hey, we'd rather hold on to our money and people die and go to hell instead of be involved in missions? God help us with a mentality like that. It's a wonder God don't take everything we got. We're so stinking stingy. We live in new houses and drive fine cars and we're unwilling to give back to God. We won't even tithe hardly much, let alone give to missions and give a special offering to a preacher that comes through. We want the finer things. We're afraid we're going to have to do without. The reason we're doing without is because we're stingy and we're unwilling to give. You have not because you ask not. He that soweth sparingly. Did I quote that this morning? He that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. God gets your heart, He gets your pocketbook. I promise you that. Here's a little maid that got stolen out of her country. She's got a burden for her master. And she had every right in the world to hate this man. She didn't have the right, but she had every reason. Let me rephrase that statement. That wasn't the right statement. She had every reason. They stole her away from her family, took her into a foreign land, a bunch of heathens, put her under the supervision of a woman whose husband got leprosy. And if he was around, she was subject to contract that stuff. I don't know if he was around. Usually they put them out in somewhere else, you know. And in Israel, I mean, if they had leprosy, they put them in leprosy colonies. And if they come close to people, they had to holler, "Unclean! Unclean!" They had to keep their distance. But she had confidence in God. She believed God and she knew what He could do. She not only had confidence in God and believed God, but she had confidence in the man of God. The man of God was God's representative there in the land of Israel. She had a confession for God. She had a testimony and she was a light and a testimony in a dark place where she was at. I wonder how much light people are getting off of us. I wonder if anybody ever sees something in us that they know we're different. They ought to. Hey, you can't run with the world and shine the light of Jesus. You can't go to the hell holes of this world and display the light of Jesus and be salt in this land. So we see a sold out mate, a sick man, and we see a simple message. Verses 4 through 15, I'll not read them again for sake of time. But we see the Lord's man there in verses 8 to 10. Said, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he got upset. Elisha heard what was going on. Elisha. That he sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. Hey, can I say, we need to let people know that there's a prophet in the land today. Hey, that there's some preachers around this land that'll still preach the true grace of God, that'll preach the gospel, that'll preach every jot and every tittle, declare the whole counsel of God, try to establish people in the faith, try to get people on the right path, try to lift up the name of Jesus wherever we go. We see a simple message. We see the Lord's man. We see a sudden call there in verse 8. He said, "And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in the land.'" Elisha heard what was going on. He said, "Send him to me, king." He said, "I got the right message for him." He said, "Hey, I got a direct line with God." He said, "I'll handle this for you. Don't you get too distraught. Why'd you rent your clothes? Just send him on over here, and he'll know that there's a prophet in the land, if he'll listen to him." So we see a sudden call. We see a simple command there in verse 10. "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.'" We see a simple command. 7 dips, and 7 dips alone. The gospel alone this evening is the only way to heaven. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me." I'm glad I don't have to go to a priest. Hey, I'm glad I've got one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Hey, I'm glad I can go directly to Him. Even tonight after I've got saved, I can still go directly to Him, and I can have direct access to the throne of God this evening. And that's the only way you're going to get there. Acts chapter 16, there in verse 31, the Philippian jailer said, "Men and brethren, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." You know, household salvation is still available today. It's still possible. If we get to that place and point that God wants us in our life, there's no telling what we could see around here. There's no telling. But we come to church and we just get used to the status quo. We know what's going to happen. We're not expecting nothing different. Hey, we ought to come in and have confidence in God that God is going to work in someone's life. Hey, the power of God ought to be so real here, and it's going to take the power of God to get sinners saved today. They've watched so much television, played so many video games. I'm going to tell you, it's going to take the power of the Holy Ghost to move people today. I've seen some of those guys. I've seen Brother Sammy Allen preach with the power of God on him and other men of God, and people sit in the congregation and they'll look at them like a calf looking in a new gate. And they had the power of God on them. So don't tell me we're going to get anything done without the power of God. It's going to take it. If we see God do anything, but we've got to have the confidence to believe that He still can. In 2016, He's still able. He not only can, He will. If we'll get to that place and point, He said, the Bible says over in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray." The trouble is, we're not humbling ourselves. We're lifted up in pride. Not many humble people. We're not careful. We'll let this society, we'll let it harden us. We're not as humble. We're not humble no more. I've seen time people get in service and they just cry and weep. You hardly ever see any tears shed anymore. Very seldom do you see tears shed. Very seldom you see somebody come down to the altar. Very seldom you see anybody crying. Now, mind you, they don't have to cry, but it sure is good to see tears. See people's brokenness. God knows the contrite heart. He knows the brokenness of the heart. But it sure is good to see one come broken. Them tears flowing down their cheek, repenting as they come. Repentance. Not much repentance in this land. People think they can just live their life the way they want to and have power with God. You can't do it, friend. This little maid, she had confidence in the man of God. She said, hey, she told the boss's wife, she said, hey, if my master could get over there to my preacher, he could help him. He said, these preachers around here, they ain't going to help him. These bunch of liberals over there at the house of, what, Rimmon? Yeah, them liberal Rimmon preachers said, they can't help him, but my preacher can help him. Hey, he's got a direct line to God. She had confidence in her God. She had confidence in her man of God. So we see a simple command. The gospel alone is the only way to heaven. We see the two roads that Brother Logan preached about there this evening. He read, enter ye in at the gate, straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Can I say there's a lot of people on that broad road today? There's not many people on that narrow road. We see the roads and highways, they're filled with people today. And most of them are on that broad road to hell. You can drive from here, I've driven from here to Colorado, and I promise you, even in the midnight hours, there's cars on the road. In a lot of those places, there's heavy traffic all day long, going to and fro. Knowledge is increasing. But we see people are on the broad road. The knowledge is increasing. They're getting away from this, the simplicity of the gospel. They think all that stuff's just junk. They think we're weak and frail because we embrace a Jesus that can save our souls and forgive us of our sins and can take us to heaven one of these days. Hey, they think we're weak and frail because we're embracing a Jesus that could change our nation. The only hope for Naaman was to get over there to Israel, to the man of God. He had the right message. He had the right place for him to go. He had God's plan and what God expected him to do. There's the two roads, the broad road, the narrow road. We see a simple message. We see the Lord's man. We see the Lord's miracle. See Naaman's servants. They said two things here in verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean? So we see Naaman, he wanted to do something different. He wanted to embrace another plan. He wanted to go to the rivers of Bana and for par there in the land of Damascus. He didn't want to do what God told him to do, and people don't want to do what God tells them to do today. They want to do it their way. So we see Naaman's servants, they said two things. Said, you would do a great thing. And then number two said, what have you got to lose? See, he's told you what to do. I mean, you're condemned, man. You're going to die if you don't get healed. And here's the man has told you what the solution to your problem is. What have you got to lose? Don't do it your way. Do it God's way. So we see Naaman's submission. When Naaman decided to do it God's way, there was two things that happened that produced salvation. He obeyed God. Naaman dipped. And can I say, if you're here tonight and you're lost, you must believe. Hey, you must have a place, an experience with God where you've repented and believed and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. We see he obeyed God and he was changed. Not the dipping of the Jordan, it was the power of the Almighty God that changed this leper into the clean, whole man that he became. I can imagine that mighty soldier, that valiant man. He's out there in the muddy Jordan River. He comes up and he goes down two times. He comes up three times and go back down. I imagine, I wonder what he was thinking. He thought, here I am, a captain, a conqueror. I'm a mighty man of valor. I've won wars, and here I am doing what a preacher told me to do. He said, if you want to be healed, you're going to have to go down and dip 7 times. And he dipped that 5th time, and nothing had happened. He come up. He dipped that 6th time. And I could imagine that 7th time when he come up, and he was cleansed. I bet there was some rejoicing going on when they said, hey, Master, you're clean and white. You don't have leprosy anymore. Boy, ain't it good to see somebody get saved. As they say, to get genuinely born again. Can I say everybody that's ever got saved, they got genuinely born again? It don't matter if it was a little 5-6-year-old boy or girl. It don't matter if it was an 85-year-old man or woman. If they get saved, they trust Jesus, and they come by faith of believing and trusting the Lord Jesus, repenting of their sin, they get genuinely born again. They get cleansed just as Naaman got here when he went down to come up that 7th time he was clean. I believe it was that instantaneous. I have no problem believing that 7th dip that he went down in the water and he come up out of that water, he was cleansed. That's the way salvation is. When we get it, when we trust Jesus and we get honest with God and we take our place as a sinner and we ask Him to come into our heart, it's instantaneous. You don't grow into that. No. It takes place right then at that moment that you believe. You'll be changed. He'll change your thinking. You might have those thoughts, but you won't enjoy them. You might participate in some things for a little bit. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. But I'm going to tell you, if you can go on and on and on and on in that, and it don't bother you, friend, you've probably never been cleansed. You probably come 1 dip short of that 7th dip. I just thought of that. You might have not went all the way. You might not have been honest. So we see verses 15 and 19, we see Naaman's salvation. When Naaman did it God's way, he got more than health. He got a spiritual dip too. Notice his confession. Verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. His heart changed. He said, Let me give you something. God got his pocketbook. God got his whole being. He got a change there in that 7th dip that revolutionized his life, I think. And it probably revolutionized his wife's life, too. It changed his whole family, probably. Romans 10, verse 9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, that's King James. That's the Word of God. That's a promise from this King James Bible that we have. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, God does that work in our heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession made unto salvation. I believe it's good to confess Him. I believe it's good to stand up and say, I just trusted Jesus and asked Him to come into my heart and He saved me. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Notice His assurance. Verse 19. Said, and He said unto him, Go in peace. So He departed from him a little way. So we see He had assurance. I'm glad we have assurance in salvation. John 6:47 said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. If that's the only assurance verse that we had in the Bible, it would be good enough. It would be good enough. I'm glad that He's told us. If you're saved, if you've ever trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, let me tell you, you're eternally kept by the power of God. I'm not going to try to get you lost. If you don't have no peace in your heart, and if you don't have a place that you can go back to where you had an experience and an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God, and He worked salvation in your heart, if you don't have a place you can go back to where you got a stake drove up, or where you got, where you trusted Jesus, your personal Savior, friend, you need to get saved. If He didn't change your life, if He didn't give you a new desire, you need to get born again. I'm not going to try to give you assurance if you have no peace and if you can't get that thing nailed down after a while. If you're just continuously struggling with your salvation experience, you might ought to junk what you got and get born again. You know, God don't keep us in the dark. I have a hard time believing, and I don't want you to think I have a hard time believing that people can go all their life and they get down to the end of the way and God has kept them in the dark about their salvation. I have a problem with that. Because He said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Hey, there's no rest in doubting. There's no rest in struggling and wondering. Today you think, boy, I'm saved today. And then tomorrow you're down again. And I know there's preachers that's probably lost that fill the pulpits. But I just have a hard time believing that God, as holy and righteous as He is, would keep anybody in the dark like that. And let you go through your life and live in the life on the edge and the possibility of going to hell. If you really want to know, I believe God will let you know. If you've not done it the way God told you to do it, if you've not come, repented of your sins, and placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you need to get saved. Hey, just because you had some kind of a life-saving experience don't mean you're saved. Just because you got in an accident or a car run over you or nearly run over you, I've heard stories like that. Well, I know I'm saved because I was walking down the road down yonder and a car come by there and there was one went on one side of me and the other went on the other side of me. And it was a miracle. I know that I'm saved. You hear stuff like that. Or a car transfer truck run over me and I survived. I know I'm saved. No, it's not in a life-saving. Because people go through things like that. People have got to the very edge of death and survived. That don't make them saved. It don't matter what they think. It's what that Bible says. He said, with the heart man believes in the righteousness, with the mouth confessions made him to salvation. Now, God may use something like that to get your attention, but you're going to have an experience with God where you trusted Jesus as your Savior. Can I emphasize that enough, that there's got to be a time that you've had an experience where you not that you want to now, but that you called on Jesus, you repented of your sin, you turned from your sin, you took side with God against yourself, and you accept the fact that you're a sinner and you're on your way to hell and you trusted Jesus as your Savior. Is that pretty plain? I hope it is. If you're a church member, when Jesus comes, He's not looking up church clerk. He's not going to go down to James and them's house before He gets us up and say, who all's on the roll down there at Open Door Baptist Church? No, He's coming in the cloud. He's going to say, come up hither, and we're going out of here. If the blood's been applied, there's going to be a transformation that takes place in the moment, the twinkling of an eye. And we're leaving this planet. They're going to explain it all away, friend. If you're left here and half of this church is gone and you come church Sunday morning or somewhere on down the road and half the church is gone and you remember what I'm preaching to you tonight. that crowd's gone. Hey, they can't explain that away. They will, because the Bible said God sent them strong to delusion. They believe a lie and be damned. I think He's done sending strong delusion, just to be honest with you. Because there's a lot, the mass of people is believing a lie. They're following the televangelist that's not preaching much gospel. They're preaching they feel good about yourself. Giving people that mentality, hey, that just because I'm being blessed that I'm okay. That Bible says repent and believe. You come God's way. You go down to the rivers of Abana and Pharpar and you'll take them seven dips if that's what God told you to. But He ain't told us to do that. He's told us to repent and believe. And your sins will be forgiven. Come on, Miss Sarah. I believe I'm done. There's a contrast there. Verses 15 and verse 11. Two words. I thought versus I know. What a difference in the right waters can make. Have you took a dip in the right waters this evening? Have you got that place and time that you can go back to where you trusted Jesus? Where He changed you? Let's all stand. If you need to pray, if you're not saved, hey, if you're not sure that you're saved, get out here and get sure of it. If you can't get it settled, junk what you got and trust Jesus. If He's dealing with you, if He's moving in your heart and He's saying, come to me, hey, believe or repent and trust me, do what He says. Hey, it don't matter what nobody thinks about you. If you're not saved, get saved. Take that plunge. Into that fountain that was opened at Calvary some 2,000 years ago. Be new life. New hope. New walk. New creature. The reason some people can't quit sin, they ain't never been to their sins. They keep walling around in that sin all their life. You can't go to heaven walking toward hell all your life. Some words, there's going to be a change. Are you 100% sure that your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life? Most important thing here this evening is knowing that you took the right dip and that your sins have been forgiven. That leprosy's gone. I imagine that trip back over to Syria was a whole lot better than that trip over to Israel. I guess old Naaman was probably pretty skeptical on the way over there, don't you? He probably thought, what am I doing? This little slave girl, she's done told me to go over here, see her preacher. He went to the king, went to the wrong person. But I bet he went back with a different light on the matter. When he looked at his skin, all he seen is that old leprosy. But then all he could see was that leprosy was gone. I'm glad I know my sins are gone. Amen. I'm glad I know that I know that I know that they're gone. That I'm going to heaven one day. Not because of what I done, but what Jesus did. When He opened that fountain at Calvary and He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.